On this Memorial Day weekend, I am reminded often of the many conversations I've had with veterans, especially those who have served in time of war and time of conflict. And I remember this one conversation with this gentleman who was a World War II veteran. He talked about arriving in Europe fresh from basic training. They were 3 weeks in Europe, and he was caught then in the middle of the Great Battle of the Bulge. And he said during that time, they had dug their foxholes. They had placed two by two across the thin line that stood between the German army and the rear guard of the Allies. And as night began to descend, his company commander came to each foxhole assuring them that everything was going to be okay, but also with the news that he was going to go and get reinforcements. And the gentleman said to me, this man said to me, and that began the longest night of my life. Because they were separated by 40 to 50 feet, each of these foxholes, and they couldn't communicate with each other for fear of giving away their position to someone on the other side. And because it was winter and it was overcast, the night was pitch black dark, so much so that you could not see more than a few feet. And so you could not see your companions to the right or to the left. There was only you and the other person in the foxhole with you in silence. And while he trusted his company commander and those who were going to get reinforcements, as he said, he also doubted and had great fear. And thus went the longest night of his life. And in some ways, I think we can imagine that the disciples on this Ascension Sunday may have felt the same way. They may have said to themselves, we have walked with Jesus for these 3 years. He saw him die upon the cross. We heard of his resurrection. He has been walking with us and teaching us and leading us these 40 days in the resurrected life. What could be better than that? And today he says to us, and now I am going to go away from you, but don't worry, I'm going to send reinforcements. And don't worry, because I am with you until the end of time. And as St. Matthew writes in the Gospel today, they worshiped, but they doubted. That very human thing that we do, wondering, okay, what's next? What's going to happen? Is everything that we thought was going to happen really true? Or is it just another disappointment in our lives? And of course, in faith, we know that Jesus does send us the reinforcements necessary. Next Sunday, we'll celebrate that reinforcement, the birth of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church at Pentecost. But you wonder how the disciples felt over these next 7 days as they went to the upper room and they prayed together and they thought, what are we going to do next? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live our lives? And we know that it is that command that Jesus gives to them today that is the center of how we are called to live our lives as disciples, as followers, as brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, go out to all the nations, baptizing them, making them disciples in my name, in the Father's name, in the Son's name, in the Holy Spirit. What we do today still in our Catholic Church. But that wasn't the first time Jesus said that. Think of the day of the resurrection. Mary of Magdala is standing at the tomb wondering, what is going on here? The body's gone. The stone's rolled back. Everything seems weird. She sees someone. Where have they taken Jesus? I don't know what they're doing. She recognizes finally through Jesus' command. What does Jesus say to her? Don't cling to me. Don't stay here. Go out. Tell my brothers and sisters, tell the disciples that I am alive and risen. What does Mary do? She goes. She does what Jesus asks of her. She follows his command. What happens when Peter meets Jesus on the beach and they have breakfast together? And Jesus asks him, do you love me, Peter? Peter says, of course I love you. You know I love you. What do you want of me? And Jesus simply responds with the command, go, feed my sheep, love my sheep, care for my sheep, heal my sheep, bless my sheep, go. Don't stay here. Go out and proclaim my resurrection, my hope, my joy, my blessing, my redemption, my forgiveness that I bring to the world. And even after the disciples do this, it still continues to happen. St. Paul, riding to Damascus on his horse, gets knocked off. Jesus says to him, do you know what you're doing? And Paul says, no, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm going to go kill some Christians. He says, no, you're not. Go. Don't go back home. Don't go back to the way you were. But go out. Learn about me. Go to the disciples in Damascus. Learn who I am. And then go and proclaim the good news to all the nations. And we know how that ends, of course. Because that is what Paul does. That is his mission. And it is our mission too. Because Jesus didn't say that 2,000 years ago and said, oh, the next group of people don't have to do that. No, we are still commanded by Jesus to go out to all the nations proclaiming the good news. Because we are not alone. We have that gift given to us by God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That gift begins at baptism, the sacramental graces that we receive and are blessed with, that we carry out into the world so that we can proclaim Jesus alive, Jesus present with us here and now, Jesus with us, Jesus healing us, Jesus blessing us, Jesus coming in glory as we celebrate this wondrous feast where Jesus goes to the Father in heaven to open up the gates of paradise for each and every one of us. And we are called to follow him because as he came to earth, he did not abandon the kingdom of heaven to come to earth, but rather brought the kingdom of heaven here to us. And that is what we are called to participate in when we go and proclaim the good news. We do that in the sacramental life that we share, the sacramental life of, yes, baptism, but then First Communion and confirmation, those wonderful gifts we have been celebrating here in our parish in abundance this month of May. They are those gifts of ordination and holy matrimony that we are called to live in the state of life, the state of grace, the state of blessing, and to show forth that blessing in the world. They are those sacraments of healing, the reconciliation, and the anointing that we receive so that we might be healed, so we may go out and be healers of others, forgivers of others, blessers of others. We might be God's mercy, God's truth, God's justice, living in the world, a world that so desperately needs it, so denies it so often. And yet we stand as one. We stand as one because we know we do not live in the darkness. Because as that man lived in that dark night of the foxhole, as morning came, he could see his companions spread across that line. And he could hear those reinforcements coming from behind. And that is what we live in as Christians, because we are not alone in this journey. That we are part of the greater body of Christ, so that when we fall or are afraid, others come to pick us up. When we are injured and in mourning, others come to heal and to bless us. When we are at fault and have fallen away, others come in mercy and peace and justice to bring us back home. And when we celebrate and honor God in worship, others come to join their voices with ours so that we might join those heavenly choirs in singing God's blessing. That is our mission. That is who we are called to be as we go out. Not staying here, but going out to be God's mercy, to be God's love, to be God's hope. So that we might be, in those words attributed to the great Saint Teresa of Avila, the hands of God, the arms of God, the body of Christ. Because that is what God calls us to be. And so as we celebrate, as we receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity in this Eucharist, as we receive this food for the journey to go out, let us become mercy. Let us become peace. Let us become the love of Christ.